Hey, Dan. Welcome back to Outside Radio Hours.
Hi, Tim.
I've really been enjoying Breadwinter 2, and I had now it made me one question of point, I guess, to ask. Is it Breadwinter 2, Breadwinter Point 2, Breadwinter Dot 2?
It'd be Breadwinter 2.
All right, just simply Breadwinter 2. So the decimal point is silent in this pronunciation.
Uh-huh.
One of the pieces on it I like a lot is the interpretive trail.
Oh, okay.
Listening to it again today, I'm trying to place the voice there. I think I've heard that guy on, like, Canadian Public Radio, the Vinyl Cafe or something, on the weekends. Do you know who is it?
Oh, gosh. It was you'd have to be specific. You mean the guy that's mainly talking?
Yeah. The one that gives us the line that you have to head down the interpretive trail and tells the whole story.
It was some kind of comedic thing. It was some vintage stuff that, you know, I called somewhere. But I actually don't know the guy's name. I'd have to be honest with you.
Well, where do you mostly get your material?
Oh, here and there. It's everywhere, really. It's just whatever I hear that sounds unusual. And it'll fit, or I'll make it fit, or warp it, or something. You know,
So when you say you hear, like, things on radio, TV?
Everywhere, all forms of media, really.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, like, when you said vintage comedy made me wonder if you, like, go get, like, LPs and 78s and find things on there?
Yeah, everywhere. You know, it's pretty much an open field. This album, though, was actually more, I felt at least, it was more instrumental. There was a lot more music going on. I had just listened to the first one recently, comparing the two.
Yeah.
Something I should have done probably right after I finished Breadwinter 2. But I was noticing there was a lot more, the samples were more, you know, like a lot of them would go around a theme this time, as opposed to last time it was just like total surrealism and a lot of, you know, a lot of the pieces. Actually had a theme to them, some of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. They seem more relating to a larger whole than this kind of mosaic that we had before. And I guess that makes me comment them about, because they relate more to the piece when they're there. Like, for instance, the Heed the Banjo Serenader, there's so much in there that is the threats of the Zodiac Killer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that's based around that.
And you say it's based around that. Is that actually like recordings of phone calls he made, or from like a movie treatment?
From a movie.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
If I remember,
the actual title I got from a letter that he wrote in one of the Zodiac books. I read both of them. That was a letter that he wrote about people in it, and it just, you know, for being, you know, the thick individual that person was, he was actually creative with words.
Right.
Banjo Serenader, and then it's like, wow, where have you ever heard that before?
I read the Graysmith book about the Zodiac Killer a long time ago, but I don't know that I've read any others. If I remember right, there was some Manson quotes on the first one. Am I remembering that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this one, too, on the final piece and further still.
Right. So are you drawn to this world of serial killers yourself?
I like reading about it. It's not something I would readily admit, because some people would be turned off. But I am fascinated by the process, you know, what causes them to do things like that, and why, you know, how they catch them and things like that. You know, I admit I am fascinated with that. I do read about it quite a bit, yes.
Oh, I do, too. I read a lot of true crime. I'm sure it's a multi-million dollar industry, and it's not just getting your money and mine. There must be others, too.
Yeah. These days, actually, because of lack of funds, I've been rereading a lot of things.
Ah, too, sure.
Yeah.
What are you rereading now?
Oh, I just finished on a book of Aerosmith, Walk This Way, their autobiography, which is great. And I'm reading right now by Al Aronowitz, because I'm a big Beatle fan, Bob Dylan and the Beatles. It's his unpublished interviews and whatever with the Beatles and Bob Dylan, a lot of other people. It's really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, Al Aronowitz was here on the show not long before he died. He's a really fascinating guy.
Yeah, I met him at one of the Beatle Fests, and I got him to autograph the book, and I tape recorded the interview, too. It's
nice.
Fascinating stuff, yeah.
I have queued up next for after we talk, Eat More Tripe.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that piece?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And Tell us about what you're putting together there and that bit of dietary advice.
It's basically, it was just some nonsensical one, you know, stuff at the beginning. And actually, I think that was a clip from The Avengers or the old British TV series. It's just basically, it coincides, you know, some guy's talking about what tripe actually is, which is the intestines of the cow.
Right.
And it just comes in with some other stuff about how did people become, you know, get to be this way. And it just goes back and forth on that one. That's almost like a dream state type thing. And you've got a British band talking about who's ripping them off at the end of it all. You know, it's just all this stuff tossed together on that one. That was one of the more surreal pieces, actually.
And I think that might be why I'm drawn to it. I like the surreal and the absurdist humor, you know, which really has a long, long tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to the Dadaist and even before, even pre-World War One.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's I like it. Sometimes when you're doing the stuff with the sampling, too, you can throw stuff that isn't even funny just right next to something. And just because it's two different kinds of emotion or two different kinds of scenarios in there, it'll turn out pretty funny. You know, get a laugh out of people, and actually it wasn't intended if you put the things separately, you know.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to remember the quote exactly, but in a sense it doesn't matter. Dali, Salvador Dali, said something about that. He said something like, a lobster on a bobsled, that's surrealism.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and the point is that it's the juxtaposition or the change up of context that becomes surreal, like what you're doing acoustically there. Do you feel in your mind that is this more in the realm of entertainment like comedy or in the realm of art like surrealism? Because what I'm saying is comedy is attempting to entertain in no sense to sort of pull us through the rigors of life, where surrealism is trying to shatter our understanding, right?
Oh, gosh. Well, that'd be rough. But I don't think I specifically strive for entertainment with this. There is, you know, some humor in the surrealism, too. It isn't all surrealism, either, as much as it's just, like, arty experimental-type stuff. I try to convey, like, a dream state a lot, and that's great because you get a lot of different emotions, whatever, stuff that would be in your subconscious all day long, and it'll all be mixed together. And you have a dream, and you try and sort it out the next day. What was that all about? What caused that?
Yeah.
Kind of little bits and pieces, you know, flotsam and jetsam of that, and mixed together. But I'd say for entertainment, I don't know, I can't picture that being, like, alongside a pop-type song or anything like that. But it can be instrumental, too. Breadwinner, like I said, there's going to be instrumental music on there. There might be a Breadwinner album coming up in the future. It'll always be kind of strange, engaging stuff, but might not even have samples on it. You know, it might be more, like experimental music or instrumentals, per se, as well. Because I always want Breadwinner to progress forward, too.
And I'm sure it will. That's interesting to me, the idea of replicating the dreamlike collision of images that's to be sorted out. Dan, what's the last dream you remember having?
Oh, gosh. I'm always lost. I'm always lost in trying to get somewhere. I dream a lot. Well, one thing I expressed in the piece Further, that long piece, I have what sounds in there like a factory from hell. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and a little girl screaming, I caught 12 lightning bugs. Thought I'd throw a little David Lynch in this scenario with these scary strings with this, all these noises that sound like they're in a factory and warehouse. I dream a lot about jobs I had in the 80s and 90s where I worked on a dock, and I'd be in loud, dusty, noisy places with forklifts and trucks and everything and all kinds of stuff banging around and that. And I dream a lot about being in places like that and trying to get somewhere else, like trying to get home or something. I'd always get lost or something. So one thing that's a mainstay of my dreams, I'm always lost and trying to get somewhere.
Well, Dan, thanks for taking us on the journey while you try to find where you're headed.
Great. Awesome. Glad to do it.
Hey, I'm glad that you're willing to share some of your time, too. I really am. In parting, man, could you do me a big favor and remind the audience who you are and what they're listening to?
This is Dan Cisnera, aka Breadwinter, and you're listening to Outside Communications.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.